episode of the Monday Mile podcast. This week, we're in central London, so excuse the noise and traffic toots. Today's guest has somehow managed to find a break in his schedule. He's a CEO of EE and heads up the UK's biggest consumer business in the country. Hang on a second. Mark, what does that even mean?
Well, it's a huge business that we've got. Over 25 million subscribers to EE, the mobile network you've mentioned, BT, BT Broadband, and BT Sport and BT TV as well. So, you know, we've got, as I say, over 25 million subscribers. It's a huge customer business. We've got over 25,000 employees all over the country serving those customers. Yeah, it's great to be out in a rare walk outside the office, catching a break.
And Mark, let's not forget, it's the best fixed and mobile networks.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, a core part of what we do is give customers access to the internet. We do that over our networks. You've got a mobile network, which EE is incredibly famous for. And then our broadband network, the sort of Wi-Fi you would have in your home, is powered by BT, which has got a long history in broadband and Wi-Fi networks. So that's a big part of what our customers pay us for. But increasingly, we're now expanding our business into new areas like video gaming and security and insurance and a bunch of other stuff. So the business is expanding and the complexity that we're dealing with is increasing, but it's a lot of fun. And we're a growing business and trying to make things better for our customers every day.
So there's a lot going on there.
Yep.
Is it a regular occurrence to find you out on a casual Monday lunchtime stroll? Does that happen in your diary?
No, not really. I mean, I'm a big fan of exercise, but I tend to do it first thing in the morning. So I would like to be in the gym at 6:30, 7 in the morning, get an hour done, really think about the day ahead. Obviously do some exercise, and that really sets me nicely. But to be honest, once I then come to the office, I'm kind of in the office pretty much all day, and unless there's a really sort of stressful thing going on where I might just need 5 minutes to catch some air and have a walk, as we are, it's quite rare for me. So it's actually really nice just having a stroll around. It's quite a rare thing to do.
I can imagine it's quite weird because we are literally just passing your building.
Yep.
People probably don't expect to see you just casually strolling around. We are getting
I'm normally walking a lot faster than this. Bit of a stride with purpose, yeah.
Is that standard of a CEO? A stride with purpose, yeah?
I think so. It's more just bouncing from one thing to the next. It means you have to run.
Tell us about the importance in the gym. It sounded to me as if that's something that's set and fixed within your diary.
Yeah, I think, well, I'm clear actually, if it's not in my diary, it doesn't happen. So I always have that first hour of the day clear, unless there's something exceptional going on that I can't influence. I think it's really important for me, to keep my body in good shape, but my mind as well. I think if I have exercise, I tend to plan whilst I'm exercising, think about the day ahead, think about all the meetings I've got, how I want to approach them, what I want to achieve out of them, the people I need to get hold of, how's the business doing, how am I doing. It's a really good way of just reflecting and setting my day up. I mean, everyone's different.
Yeah.
But for me, doing it first thing is something I've always done, and it's a really important part of my routine.
I can definitely connect to that with doing it first thing.
Yeah.
Because I think often if you delay it and do it later in the day, I think that's when life can really run away with you, and then there are excuses. But I personally find myself that if I get up and get it done, it sets that intent for the day.
No, I think that's right. And I've tried in the past to say, I'll go to the gym at the end of the day, but day always overruns, as you say. During the course of the day, so many different things can happen, and then you've got loads of phone calls you've got to make and people you've got to get back to, and so you never end up doing it. So that's why I do it, but everyone's different. I also have just loads more energy first thing in the morning. Everyone's, again, different, but for me, that's when I've got my peak energy levels, yeah.
Yeah, I feel you. What's a standard day in the life like of a CEO? Because for those people that listen to this podcast that maybe are new to the sort of business world, we've had a lot of sports people on this podcast, presenters, radio DJs, doctors, but give us a little insight into that corporate world.
Yeah, there's a huge amount of variety in my job. I mean, just going over, you know, we're running a massive mobile network with loads of subscribers. So what happens there could be anything from planning for a new iPhone launch to launching new products and services. Inevitably, there will be problems that can arise with customers or the network that we've got to solve. We work on new roadmaps for digital capability, things we can give our customers. In the TV world, I'm looking at sports rights and auctions, the Premier League auction or the Champions League auction, or how we should be pricing things, how we should be thinking about the experience that our customers are getting from the products we serve. We spend time looking at the financial results, of course, because that's a huge part of the job. Are we developing in line with our plan? We spend time with investors, we spend time with the regulator, sometimes with government, because we're such a systemically important business for the UK with 25 million subscribers and huge investment going into our networks. So I suppose it's a long way of saying there is no real standard day. I like to try and have a week that is very structured for me and most importantly for my team, so they know that, you know, Wednesday, for example, would be a day where we would run through the plan and the business and the priorities, and we'll do more creative brand sessions towards the end of the week when everyone's a bit more relaxed, for example. So we tend to have that level of structure, but there's so much going on, there's no real standard day.
It sounds like there's a lot of juggling, but also a format to the juggling of that. When it comes to your employees, and I'm almost imagining it like a giant pyramid, what do you think it requires to have such a stable base on all levels?
Yeah, I mean, firstly, whilst you describe a pyramid, which I know what you're trying to get to, which is the sort of person at the top and then, you know, the organisation there. I mean, I always...
We're here chilling at the top. not chilling.
Not chilling, definitely not. But I always try and think about the pyramid as inverted. You know, myself, my leadership team are really there to serve customers and the rest of the employees in the business. And that's how we try and behave. It's how we try and spend our time. You know, the most important people we have in our business are those that are speaking to customers directly, whether it's in our store, we've got one here, or in our contact centres, or those working on customers. So I think that's a really important mindset that I've tried to get myself into and my team into over the years, that we are in service of employees and customers, not the other way around. Forget the hierarchy thing and the pyramid, you know, invert the pyramid.
I like that. I reckon there's a few people in similar positions to you that wouldn't invert the pyramid because they do believe they're the pivotal part. But it sounds to me as if you have a selfless approach.
I think it's really, if you're in a customer business as we are, with 25 million of them who depend on us for access to the internet, which is one of the most important things in addition to breathing and eating and drinking water, we have to think and act that way. And I think for the kind of culture that we're trying to create and the brand and the business that we're trying to build, putting our people first is always something I've always tried to do. We don't always get it right every minute of every day and every decision, but that's something that's always guided me. I think when we think about attracting talent, there's so many different parts of our business. You could be wanting a career in TV, in our digital teams, in technology, in networks, in engineering, finance, marketing, HR, sales, commercial, retail, you name it. There's so many different entry points into our business, which is great. So, and we're very well-known brands. EE and BT are incredibly well-known brands. So we don't really have a problem attracting talent because it's a big, systemically important business that's going places. So we really like to think about the type of people that we want to hire, the kind of values that we'd like them to have and live by, and how can we do a great job of nurturing them and giving them such variety of career opportunities as well, because you could come into customer service role and end up creating apps in our digital team. for example, where you might start in retail and end up in finance and the accounting team. I mean, there's so much variety and opportunity for people.
Tell us a little bit about Hope United. Believe it or not, I actually was involved in that campaign.
I do believe it, because it was our campaign and I know you were.
One number out of a few, probably 100 people that you had activating and supporting that. And you remember me, I'm going to claim that.
I do.
Tell us about that campaign and the key messaging behind that.
Yeah, I mean, we created Hope United. For those that don't know, really, it's a platform for our brand to have a voice in areas that we really wanted to have a voice in, to tackle some of the problems that we see and are part of. Having a TV and a sports business, for example, we can see the problems that there are with racism in sport, with sexism in sport, and unfortunately, you know, we can see the data, and we actually commissioned some research as well to really look at it, and how football, for example, is a amplifier of racist behaviour, racist commentary. Whenever there's a game on, there's 40, 60, 80% increase in online trolling and online abuse, racist abuse, homophobia, sexism. It, unfortunately, largely linked to football.
Why do you think that
is? I love football. Yes, it's probably my favourite sport to watch, and I used to participate in when my knees allowed me to. You know, it's probably the sport that's got the most visceral rivalry, I guess, between teams and individuals. I think the media, because it's such an important game, it sort of amplifies this sort of gladiatorial nature and this sort of soap opera of managers and players. And I think everyone, because it's such high profile, everyone feels like they know the individuals and the players. But I really don't know why. I just know the data says that it is the sport that attracts the worst behaviour in some, unfortunately, at some really horrible levels. So we wanted to create a platform that would not just raise awareness of the issue, which I think it has done well in racism and sexism and recently homophobia, based on data, but also given people tools and skills that they can use to manage any abuse that they're getting more effectively. So helping people understand how they can block an account, report an abuser, give them some well-being mental health tips to how to handle that if you're experiencing it. So we've tried to help in our way with our brands and our platform, because we're a big voice, we can reach a lot of people, to raise awareness of the issue and try and help in our small way.
And do you bring that across to EE BT Group itself when it comes to employing people?
Yeah, I think it's part of the story that our brands have, and part of the reason why people might want to come here. Because I think when you're a very visible, well-known brand, that can be a real asset if you want to attract people.
Yeah,
you know, it's much harder to do if you're a company that's less well known, that's not as visible to customers, that hasn't necessarily got the marketing awareness that we have. So it's a real asset for us.
Do you feel a responsibility when it comes to looking after the welfare of thousands of employees?
Yeah.
That's got to be a weight.
It is. I think it's one of the hardest things to deal with in the job, actually. You feel deeply responsible for the health and well-being of your team. It's something no one fully prepares you for until you get the role, and then you go from worrying about the things that you were worrying about in your function to then worrying about everybody and everything. And I was trying to explain it to people, from whether the toilets are clean or the, you know, customer results are good or bad, or the complaints we have, you feel responsible for everything. And with a team of 25,000 as well, it's basically a very big town.
Yeah.
And in very big towns, all sorts of things happen, as you know, and you can't control them all.
No.
You know, one of the hardest things about the job, probably every week I'll get an email saying that one of our colleagues has passed away.
That's horrendous.
And so, you know, you feel these things and you feel deeply responsible for it. But equally, you know that you have to get comfortable with the fact that you can't control everyone's conversation and behaviours and actions. You've got to put the right, set the right expectations and standards of what good looks like. Try and employ people around me that are good people with good values, that you know, I'm comfortable and confident and leading in the right way, and that's passed down through the organisation. But as I say, you can't control everything, and that's one of the hardest things to get comfortable with in the
role. Yeah, I can imagine that's quite tricky, because they do say, and I guess this translates across from sport, but you can only control the controllables, and in sport it's quite selfish, right? You are looking after yourself, but in this instance you're actually trying to look after everyone else, but you can't. It's not actually possible.
No, you can just create the conditions for everyone to
the best foundations, a
culture where, you know, people know that treating each other well is a really important thing that we value. Treating customers well is a really important thing that we value, and everything sort of flows from there. But you know, you can never deal with that number of individuals and satisfy everything that they want.
Well, we are currently walking around your town, your little town.
We are, yeah.
Well, big town.
It's a bit colder than I thought it was going to be.
It is a little bit nippy. Now, one thing that has changed quite significantly since COVID is people working from home. I'm a freelancer myself, so I spend a lot of time at home.
Yeah.
I can imagine that's been quite a big transition. How do you think that's affected your employees, and do you think it's a good thing?
Look, I think the flexibility people have got now, I think, is fantastic.
Yeah.
So we give people, you know, at least a couple of days a week to work from anywhere. And in a working week of 5 days, that's 40% more flexibility than they've ever had.
That's pretty unreal.
To work from any location, right? So I think that's a lot of flexibility. And I often say to people, you know, I'm sort of 51 now, but if I wish I'd have had the flexibility that I've got now when my children were much younger, because I would have missed out on less sporting events or parents' evenings or school plays or whatever. I missed out on a lot of stuff because I, you know, like so many people, was in the office eight till six, Monday to Friday, forever. And that flexibility is great for everybody, including me now as well. However, I think it's so important for people to be together. A lot of people mistake the conversation to be about the office. It's not really about the office. The office is merely a place where people come together to work together. And people are part of a team. They can be part of a small team or a big team. But unless you're a lone sort of consultant or advisor, you're part of a team, and teams need to be together. Bosses need to be with their people. People need to see and learn from people around them, not just their bosses, but their peers. And I always think it's really clear to me, and we can see it in our productivity, the teams that are in the office a bit more are more productive, more successful, have better outcomes than those that work from home. So I think we've just got to get out of the binary sort of, it's all about working from home or it's all about coming to the office. The flexibility is great, it's really important, but I'm really clear, for anyone looking to progress their career, not being visible and not learning from others and not spending time with other people is not good for them, both in their career and in their social life and personal life. It's not, I don't believe it's healthy. Human beings were made to
interact,
be together. And that's how you learn, particularly, you know, as you're accelerating your career.
I think you're so right in that. It's a very interesting one, because you could see there would be mental health benefits of working from home. You're removing a layer of complexity when it comes to a commute, maybe childcare, spending time with family. Yep. It gives you, let's say, an extra 2 hours either side of your day. So there's the mental health element of a sort of sense of relief and comfort of being in your own home. Mm. But then that also increases screen time, which, yep, whether it's fair to say or not, with someone like yourself from a tech-sided business, surely all of that time on a screen can't be good, whereas coming in physically and having that human interaction and engagement, well, I've found personally coming out of lockdown that being outside, talking to people,
yep,
is so important. And that's the stem and the base of this podcast, is taking people off screens and getting people outside walking, yeah, and talking and moving.
Yeah, and I think you know, COVID for all of us reduced the size of our world to our bedrooms or our kitchen tables, or and we're trying to break people out of the cycle again, and some, yeah, people are out of it and some people are still in it, which is it's not normal to spend all of your time all week by yourself
in one room.
Yes, you may be saving on the commute and other things make it easier. Now, of course, there are colleagues who may have certain disabilities and other challenges. Caring responsibilities are huge. Childcare is hard to get hold of. A lot of people my sort of age also dealing with parents as well as having children themselves. There's so many reasons why the flexibility is really important. And,
yeah,
and you know, I want to be really clear. And I'm not saying people should be in the office all of the time. I just don't believe it's healthy to not be in a few days seeing colleagues and learning from others and spending time with others, because it is a team game.
Yeah.
And I think so often we hear people talk about what works for them, and it may work for them, but they're part of a team, and it may not work for the team, and it may not work for others. And I know a lot of the people you talk about or talk to are sporting people and played team sports, and they will understand, and you know, you understand, you can't just do what works for you. You're in service of the team and service of customers and service of something bigger.
How do you measure the success of your team?
Yeah, there's many things we look at, because I think it's really important that you have what we call a balanced scorecard. So it's not just one thing,
yeah,
that we look at. We look at, of course, how our customers are feeling. You have customer sentiment, brand sentiment. How do people feel about the brands, EEBT? We look at how other stakeholders feel about us, whether it's the regulator or government or consumer bodies. We, of course, measure how our employees feel about us. We have employee surveys, and are they feeling engaged and proud of what we're doing and feeling good about the leadership and the culture in the business? Our financial results, of course, important. You know, are we making the money that we need to make to invest in more networks, more coverage, faster speeds, better tech, better stuff? But I always say that's the financial results of the scoreboard, not the game. You know, that the game is really the long-term plan that we're working on. So there's many things we look at, and you've got to balance all of these things: customers, colleagues, investors, other stakeholders, partners, how they feel about us, and you get a balanced outcome. And you never keep everybody happy all of the time on everything.
Yeah.
But you've got to take a long-term view and try and get the right equilibrium on all of these different stakeholders. And if you can do that, then you're building a great business.
And when it comes to balancing all of that, there's a lot of decision making that goes on,
yeah,
in that process. I've heard you talk about the wheel.
The wheel, yes.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit about the wheel? Because I think this, yeah, is something that can transcend out of business into everyday life.
Yeah. Well, it's really touching on all of those, let's call them stakeholders in our business.
Okay.
Colleagues, customers, investors, regulator, government, the communities we're in, partners, and everything we do, because we're at the heart of every decision we make is impacting on millions of customers and hundreds of thousands of employees and communities all over the country. So I try and look at particularly big decisions going through all of these stakeholders and say, okay, what's the impact on the financial results there for investors? What's the customer impact? What's the brand impact? How will the regulator feel about it? What does that mean for our communities? What does that mean for our colleagues? And try and make sure that we're covering all of those stakeholders when we think about the decision. And as I said, there's some times where we will make decisions that are great for customers, but not necessarily great in the short term for other stakeholders, or might be, you know, sort of something that our colleagues don't like, but it's actually the right thing for the business long term. And you try and take a record of all of these big decisions and make a judgment of which groups are in balance, out of sync, and then over the course of 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, try and ensure that everybody is feeling good about the business over the long term. And not every decision, you can't please everyone with every decision, but over the long term, if you build a great business, customers will love you, investors will love you, colleagues will love you, other stakeholders will love you. That's what we try and do.
I can imagine that's so rewarding when you do get that feedback.
Yeah,
it's a multitude of strands.
Yeah, I mean, the best emails I get are ones from customers saying thank you about brilliant colleagues that have provided great service, or thanks for launching this product or service. But most of the emails are about colleagues and exceptional service that they've given, and I just get more and more and more of those over the years now. It's one of the best things about the job.
So on a normal day, it's a Monday, you are en route home.
Yep.
From what I'm going to say is a successful day.
Yeah.
In the office.
Yeah.
What is a successful day to you? You can't have all of the pillars. What makes you the most happy?
Well, I feel like I've moved and we've moved the business forward. We've made decisions. I think a lot of time you can spend hours in businesses like ours, just sitting in meetings.
Yeah.
Feeling busy, but not actually making decisions or moving things forward. So to try and make every hour spent about taking action, making decisions, improving things for colleagues or customers or the brand, or improving financial results, whatever. And at the end of the day, you look back at your diary, which I often do, and look at the meetings I've had and think, okay, was that a good use of time? Do we make decisions? Do we move things forward? It's a massive business, so you can't press a button and transform things quickly overnight. But you just got to have that feeling that every day you're improving things and making things better. And having that feeling is a great one. And then the flip side of that is there are some days where I get on the train, go home and think, you know what, a lot of time spent in meetings, not move things forward fast enough. And then I think about what I need to do differently and what my team need to do differently to change that feeling.
Does it feel fast? Is it a quick pace at which you... Yeah. Live and work at?
Very, yeah. I mean, we're at the heart of technology, networks, digital platforms, digital services. Customer behavior is relentless, isn't it? I mean, everyone we've looked at today walking around is on their phone using it all the time. It's the service we provide is under scrutiny every minute of every day by 25 million subscribers. It never sleeps. You use it at night, you use it first thing in the morning. I mean, that is huge pressure. It creates huge pace. It's very motivating to work in an industry that's so systemically important, but it also creates a lot of pressure and pace. And it's very demanding for individuals working in the company.
Yeah, I can imagine it's extremely stressful, a multitude of tiers within your business. How, when you walk out of those doors, Monday to Friday, do you not take that home and let it affect the other pillars in your life that you're equally passionate about?
Yeah, I'm not sure I can say every minute of every day I don't take it home. I mean, there are times when I do. If we've got big challenges, big events coming up, big decisions to make, that will play on my mind. And I'm sure, I know that's sometimes felt by my family or friends if I'm sort of less around or less present. It's hard, and I wouldn't be being truthful if I was to say I can really easily distinguish and separate the two.
It's very tough to do that, I think, no matter what you do.
Yeah, it can be. I think, you know, doing exercise, having things in the diary that are good fun to do, that take you out of your routine, are good. You know, we talked about the importance of exercise, playing competitive sport, or finding ways to wind down at the end of the day, or reading, or doing something different. Really, really key. But it's a 24/7 business, and you know, that is, it's on your mind. It's very hard to forget about that just because you walk through the door at home.
Do you find it a challenge separating the two, or are you okay with it?
No, I think I'm okay with it. But I mean, it's you know, whilst it's there, it's not a sort of loud voice shouting in my ear. If that, using that sort of analogy, and a lot of what I'm thinking about and what we're working on is good fun and exciting and very stimulating as well. So it's not a bad thing. But I think it's accentuated when, as I say, there are big decisions or difficult things coming up, big moments, conferences or speeches I need to make or whatever. You know, they are on your mind, and it's hard to completely switch off, and you've just got to find tools and techniques to help me do that as effectively as I can, whether that's exercise or reading or just watching some trashy TV or a great series.
What are we likely to see you watching,
well,
Mark?
Well, Succession at the moment, which I'm absolutely loving, don't worry, mate. I'm loving Succession, so you just absorb yourself into some great TV.
Nice.
And Blue Lights I'm starting to watch as well.
Oh, yeah?
So Belfast Police.
Oh, no way.
Which was really good.
That's a great recommend.
Yeah, it's really good. So, stuff like that.
Yeah. Nice. Good to hear that you do switch off a little bit.
I'll try.
I feel you. I try as well. I don't know if it's successful, but that's why, yeah, walking and exercise for me.
Is that your go-to?
Yeah, it's just got to be done this morning, 6 a.m. Got a little run in, busy day ahead.
6 a.m.
Clear the mind.
That's earlier than me.
Really? What does your commute look like, and does that vary? Is that a period of switch off for you, or do you use it as time to get ahead?
Yeah, I actually quite, at the moment, even still, it still feels like a bit of a novelty, my commute again after COVID. I don't know why, because I've been doing it for couple of years now, but I have a train journey that's about 40 minutes.
Nice.
If I get the train, which is most days of the week, and that time I read the newspaper, so I read the FT, Times, not just the business stories, but all the stories. Get a chance to catch up any emails that may have come in whilst I was sleeping.
The few hours that you're asleep.
The few hours, yeah, exactly. And so that's a nice time, and it's also a good time. Same going back, you know, there'll be a bunch of emails that I haven't got to in the day, and you can just clear them down, send them off, get them off your mind.
And then crack
and
on.
Get things moving.
Straight in the office.
Back in
for a little bit more.
Exactly.
Do you have any tips or advice for anyone looking to emulate a career like yours?
I don't know, really. I mean, I think I've been really lucky over the years to work for some great people, so I think trying to find the kind of people that are doing great things and are great developers of people and have got a reputation for building strong teams and helping people with their careers is really important. Whether I did that consciously or subconsciously when I was younger, I was certainly attracted to bosses and people like that. And that's, you know, I think of the three or four people that have just been transformational for me in terms of giving me opportunities and chances and believing in me, and that's such an important part and has been of my career, and I'm sure will be for others as well. That people always underestimate the importance of their bosses, particularly in the 20s, 30s, I would say. I have worked incredibly hard. I think there's no substitute for hard work.
Yeah.
And that's hard for people to hear sometimes, and everyone's focused on trying to get a more balanced outlook in life, but I think there is no substitute for hard work, and building a great network and being a good team player. I always say to people, if you're, even if you're not in a position of responsibility, put yourself in your boss's shoes and look at yourself around that table and think, am I the kind of person that my boss would want?
That's a nice way of
around
putting
the table.
It.
Who do I want on the boat when there's a big problem, big challenge? How am I responding to that and how am I working with others? I think it's a really important thing. So, you know, try and be a great team player, try and build strong relationships, work hard, network well. And of course, in the end, it's about delivering great results. So focus on outcomes, not inputs.
There are a lot of different parts to that puzzle, hey?
I think there are.
No shortcut.
I don't think
no
there are
secrets.
Any shortcuts. There's no shortcuts.
It's very similar
no
to sport.
Bullet. I think it is.
The mindset.
You've got to put a huge amount in. You always hear these stories, don't you, of even the best football players, they're the ones practicing free kicks when everyone else has gone home for another 20 minutes. They're working harder. They're working hard for the team. They're trying to do what the manager's says, that they get attracted to the best kind of managers. And yeah, I think there's a lot of parallels, but in the end, like sport, you are only judged on results in the end as well. So you can work as hard as you like, but if your results aren't there, then you're not going to be successful. So
success isn't a given.
It's not, and sometimes it's a bit of right place, right time.
Yeah,
I think I've been lucky with a few moments over my career where I've just sort of been attracted to a certain moment, or just got lucky that a certain thing happened and that gave me a break.
So if you were to give me a life motto or a quote that you live by, what would it be?
I don't really have a quote that I live by. I mean, the big thing we focus on in our business is treat you like you want to be treated, which, you know, I know is a very old quote and a very old phrase, but we find that works brilliantly for how you think about colleagues and teammates, and how we think about customers, and that is a real mantra in our business right now, how we think about what's important.
I can see you embodying that spirit just in the lobby there, in the way you approach all of your employees with very open mind and smiley face, and that's nice to see, even as someone like myself coming into your world. It feels like a destination where everybody's welcome.
Well, that's certainly what I try and create, and that's what we are trying to create, and that's treating you like you want to be treated. It's like you're inviting someone into your home, isn't it? You want to say welcome, you want to smile, you want to ask them how they're doing, would you like a drink?
Before you know it, Mark, I'm going to invite myself up to the office. I'm going to have a seat at that CEO chair.
You'd be very welcome.
Come and see you in the C-suite.
Yeah, why not? Why not? It's not a very salubrious chair, but it's great. It's an open plan.
No back massage?
No, definitely none of that going on.
No. That's what I'm imagining.
No. Well, you're giving me some ideas now.
And lastly, Mark, I've got to ask you, what is your relationship like with Monday, the start of the week?
I like it.
Yes, of course
I
you
like
do.
Because it's the start of possibilities, isn't it? And you can dream big at the start of the week.
Before you're broken on Friday. In the pub, crawling up.
I like it. I get out of bed, I bounce out of bed in the morning and try and... I think you've got to have a few meetings on Monday that you look forward to.
Yeah.
And you can create that, of course, you know, because I always think it's so important that your time should be managed by you. You should be deciding what meetings you want and who gives you energy and who makes you feel good about coming in on a Monday. And of course, you can't always have fun, of course, at work. That's why it's called work, isn't it? Yeah. It's not called play. But you can create these moments and time with people that make you run to work on a Monday, as well as
meetings in the gym. How would you feel about that? How about meetings on the tennis court? Do you do that? I know you like your tennis.
I do like tennis. I don't really do meetings on the tennis court, and I can't. I'm someone who can't. If I'm running or exercising, I can't speak.
Can't
really concentrate. I'm happy to do something afterwards.
Okay, nice.
But not during.
Yeah, fair.
Probably just not fit enough.
Mark Alira, thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Joining us
really
here on the Monday Mile Walk and Talk podcast. It's been so unique speaking to someone from a slightly different world, getting your spin on it, but also seeing the similarities with sport and business and how the two really do come together. I'm guessing you've got a meeting now, have you?
I think I probably have, yeah.
I think we've gone over by two minutes. Oh no!
I'm in trouble.
I've made the CEO late. Yeah, quick go. Monday Mile listeners, I really, really hope you enjoyed that one. I absolutely loved chatting through that one and learning a little bit about the business side of life myself. You know what to do. Make sure you do give us a little subscribe, and we will be dropping every single Monday. Have an absolutely wicked week. It's a wrap.